And welcome to a Monday morning on the Steakhouse. 2 hours of radio, what should we say, magic? Radio dynamism? I don't know exactly what you may call the next few hours, but Drew Butler is here.
I would just say radio gold.
All right, well, that's what we're shooting for sure. Radio royalty, right? Whatever it is. Thanks for spending time with us. Hope you enjoyed the morning shift, as we always do. Great job by those guys. And a very, very busy week of stuff to get to here. So without further ado, Mr. Drew Butler, I wasn't with you last Monday. I was coming back from my little golf trip.
Yeah, it looked like you guys had a blast down on Sea Island. Happy belated Father's Day to you as well.
Yeah, thank you. You too. Your wife did a lovely job of honoring you and your three beautiful girls.
Thank you. She did this morning. Yeah, we had a blast yesterday. Jackie and the girls made breakfast in the morning, and then we just kind of relaxed on the couch. You know what movie we turned on? Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Oh, okay.
It was awesome. I mean, I hadn't seen that movie in 20 years.
Did the girls enjoy?
Yeah, they enjoyed it.
Did the girls
get
excited to celebrate Father's Day? It's like a holiday for them, right?
So absolutely. They did the whole thing. We did cinnamon rolls, biscuits, bacon, and... I got to come down late, and they gave me some nice little sweet gifts. So huge shout out to Jackie and the girls. It was a special morning and a special day.
Yeah, all you want when you get older is just those notes. I got a nice note last night. I said, listen, honestly, we got enough things going on. We don't need to be spending money on Dad getting a gift.
You don't need any tchotchkes?
Well, you won't believe. I mean, seriously, you want to talk about cliched? You won't believe what my number one gift was. So... my family hears me bitch all the time. We got these chopsticks. I like to eat with chopsticks or get Asian food. It's like, why is it in the house that we had chopsticks and now we don't have any? So, like, I like to eat, slows me down. This is like a weird thing. It slows me down. I'll eat with chopsticks.
Okay.
With salad or something else.
Yeah. Do you just eat it with everything, not even just Chinese food?
Yeah, with salads or other things. So they went to one of those Asian supermarkets and got me 100 pairs of chopsticks. And
wooden disposables, not like ceramic ones.
Exactly. Because the ceramic ones disappear.
Of course.
So they had to hear me say, I don't understand where these things go. I don't understand where these things go. So they're like, oh, here you go, Dad. Here's 100
sets
wooden chopsticks.
Which would mean 200 chopsticks. So you have a chopsticks drawer.
Yes. Yeah, so that was a gift. And then I think I got my own water bottle because I'm taking my daughters all the time because I got the Tulane logo or whatever. Like, we need another water bottle for the house.
Of course.
So that was it. We had a great day.
What'd you eat for dinner last night? Did you have?
We went to, lunch, like 1:30, 2 o'clock at number 246, which is Ford Fry's original Italian restaurant. Indicator, phenomenal meal. Love that place. So we went to 246 for lunch and then went out, went by the pool, watching the U.S. Open. On the way back from there, they picked up a po' boy from the po' boy shop, which I had said I was going to do. And that was it. I mean, we were...
Are you firing at an Italian restaurant at 1 p.m.?
Well, it was a regular brunch. So they had pizzas, pasta. Okay. We just had a regular, like, you know, I was out with Bobby, had soccer. I played pickleball in the morning. Like, I made sure I didn't eat all day. And then we just had a normal Italian brunch, whatever it was.
Nice.
So we had a great time. I know your dad was around, Kevin Butler.
Yeah, hung out with Butt in the afternoon. So the girls and I went over and sat by the pool with him and my sisters and all their kids and my grandma. So... we just celebrated Father's Day with family yesterday.
Multi-generational.
Which was awesome. Yes.
So happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. Bo, I know you were coaching yesterday. You weren't at Truist. Is that right?
All weekend long, yeah.
How many hours at the ballpark this weekend?
Oh, goodness gracious. Probably 25 or so-ish.
So eight hours a day.
It was Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you love it, right?
Yeah, man.
What's better, coaching your girl? Those are the moments you'll always, and you'll be into that soon enough, Drew.
Yeah.
Regardless of the sport, we should give a shout out. Speaking of the sport, before we get to 9-9, the University of Georgia just captured their first ever national title in
outdoor track and field. The Georgia women's outdoor track and field team smoked the competition. They won their first ever national championship yesterday. So a huge shout out to the athletic department, athletic director Josh Brooks, the entire team. A huge, huge honor.
Yeah.
Awesome.
You know what's amazing is if you work out, and I don't know who has access to what facilities at Georgia. I'd assume the football team is unique in the sense of their weight room and everything else.
That's right.
But if you're around any athletes at Georgia, you are talking about some of the greatest athletes in the world.
Elite.
In the world.
Yeah.
So, like, and you could say that about virtually any sport, right? And I've said this before. If you're playing baseball at Georgia, you're one of the best high school players in America. If you're running track and field, you're one of the best athletes in the world because those are gold medal winners that are running there at Georgia as well. Same thing with swimming, best swimmers in the world, right? So think of the level of training and nutrition and modern technology going into the athletes at a place like Georgia or Florida or Bama, right?
Or Ohio State or Texas, yes. Yeah, it's a great time to be a student athlete.
I mean, elite. So kudos to Georgia. We got a lot to get to from the weekend, which we'll get to in our 9 at 9. All right, let's start off with the Braves and a really kind of bizarre game, the final game of a three-game series against the Colorado Rockies. And I don't know if a lot of you even pay attention to baseball odds, but I've never seen this. The Braves were a 340 favorite at home.
Oh, my goodness.
Which means that's just unheard of.
You have to bet $340 to win $100.
So, but therefore, coming back, you get like plus 300 with the Rockies.
Right.
Which for any baseball game, no matter how bad, I remember telling people, dude, you may want to just look at Colorado plus 300 because that number is so crazy.
It does not come around.
Especially for a team that's 9 games under 500. And what goes out and happens? Granholms has 15 strikeouts. The Braves, who had done what they needed to do in games 1 and 2, are in a dogfight with Colorado. And next thing you know, you look up and they lose 10-1.
That's right. Grant Holmes was hitless through 5 innings. You said it, 15 strikeouts, and then the Braves bullpen give up 6 runs in the 7th, 3 runs in the 8th. The Braves lose yesterday 10-1 after a gem is wasted by Grant Holmes. On Friday, good news, they won 12-4. On Saturday, they won 4-1, so they win the series over the weekend against the Colorado Rockies, 2-1. They welcome in the New York Mets stake tomorrow for some divisional action.
Yeah, listen, this is a reality. I talked about it. You just have to win series. Even if you're playing one of the worst baseball teams in modern history in terms of their record, we're not in a position that, you know, we should think we're going to take 3 from anybody. Not the way this lineup is constructed right now. Now, again, Grant Holmes having a start like that, coming off the way Chris Sale has been pitching of late, coming off the way that Schwelly has just dominated and will be in the All-Star game for sure, and then you hope Spencer Strider finds his way as well. Now, they push Chris Sale back, who would have pitched yesterday. You can't really blame him. I heard him talking about it on the morning shift. When Grant Holmes pitches like that, you can't say it was a bad move,
right?
Not pitching Chris Sale and saving him for the Mets series. But the reality is you have to win series.
Got
to
win that game. Gotta win that game when Grant Holmes just goes off and fans 15. It's unbelievable. Hey, yesterday up at Oakmont Country Club, J.J. Spahn wins the U.S. Open. He was the only player to finish under par, finishes at 1 under par. Robert McIntyre, solo 2nd at 1 over. Victor Hovland, 3rd at 2 over. We are going to be breaking down the U.S. Open at 9:20.
Yeah, I promise you, it's worth sticking around because Drew Butler has real serious thoughts. He has played Oakmont many, many times. So everybody else coming on with all their theories on how bad this was and how arrogant that golf course is and how this was not going to be good television on Sunday, I think Drew Butler is going to stare in the face of all that and tell you why you are wrong. Huge trade in baseball. Rafael Devers dumped by the Boston Red Sox. No other way to put it. He's their best player. He had a $330 million contract. They're the hottest team in baseball. And one of the most bizarre moves, they pull him off the team plane and say, you're now a member of the San Francisco Giants.
Yeah, really a big head scratcher. We're going to get into that a little
bit later. It's giving Luka vibes is what everyone's saying.
No question about it. Hey, 3 p.m. down at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, the FIFA Club World Cup is happening in our city. Chelsea FC out of London, England is taking on LAFC. That game will be on TBS. Again, 3 p.m. at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. There's natural grass inside the Benz as well. Tonight, game 5 of the NBA Finals. Indiana at Oklahoma City. This series is tied at 2 apiece, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, tip-off on ABC.
Yeah, and the NHL Stanley Cup Finals. Are they tonight or tomorrow, Mr. Drew?
Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Finals is tomorrow at 8 p.m. Florida leads that series 3-2.
Yeah, there's so much more conversation about that arena up in Forsyth County. Been reading more and more about how they're going to approach Gary Bettman to give Atlanta another franchise. And I can just tell you, there's no other word to describe it. I feel it this time of year, all the time, nothing but jealousy for these markets. Like, Florida has built a dynasty.
In Sunrise, Florida.
Fort Lauderdale by the airport.
It's right
Sunrise.
By Tamarack. Dude, it is in the heart of Retirement City, USA.
This is as good a hockey team as you're ever going to see.
Yeah.
And, like, we sit here in Atlanta knowing, no question in my mind, we would be every bit the hockey market that, by the way, the Panthers never were, right? Think Nashville or Vegas.
Right.
That's what Atlanta's going to be if we get another team. But the Florida Panthers are a juggernaut in their third straight Stanley Cup Finals, and most likely will win their back-to-back coming up as well.
Yeah, it should be interesting. I'm excited for that game tomorrow night, see if Connor McDavid and Edmonton can wake up at home to force a Game 7.
Yep. That's a little bit of our 9 at 9. Hey, coming up later in the show, because I think there's a lot of confusion about Club World Cup. Why is there a 3 p.m. game? Who's in Club World Cup? Is it a true World Cup preview? Mike Conti will be here live in studio. We'll talk about that. Also, a huge trade in the NBA. Conti will break that down as well. It does affect the Atlanta Hawks in the Eastern Conference. We'll get into that. And just in general, set up the week for you. The Mets coming in, a huge divisional rival for the Braves. This is a big, big series. There is no way around it. The Braves' road back is an arduous one, to say the least. And we'll talk more about what the Mets series looks like. Look at pitching matchups on that as well. When we come back, though. Oh, my God. I was at this Father's Day event Friday night with Bobby and the entire radio station. A lot of talk about the U.S. Open. A lot of anger. I sat next to an angry Mike Bell. An angry Mike Bell.
Is he ever happy?
Well, he wasn't this weekend.
Come on, Mike Bell.
Yeah. U.S. Open recap from a guy that's played Oakmont. What makes great television? Are the PGA professionals one of the most pampered group in all of sports? We'll talk about all that. Drew Butler in the house. This is the fastest 2 hours in radio. I promise you. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
To win the U.S. Open at Oakmont, one of the hardest, if not the hardest test in major championship golf. For the win, J.J. Spahn, ball up and over the ridge. It's on a very good line. This could go in. J.J. Spahn makes it! It's the biggest moment of his career. J.J. Spahn conquers Oakmont and is your 125th U.S. Open champion.
Wow, what a moment. I assume that's the golf.
That was PGA
Network,
Tour
PGA Tour Radio.
Yeah, SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio.
Yeah, great call, by the way, by that young lady on the final moments of the
Amelia
US
Duran.
Open. Okay, good for you for giving some props. J.J. Spahn wins it. One of the most remarkable storylines, but that's what sports produces. And I will say this. I've been doing this gig for 3 decades, and there are tried and true. Right? Talk about your NFL team, full phone lines. Talk about quarterback controversy, full phone lines. Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame, full phone lines. Michael Vick, full phone lines. There's just absolute go-tos, right? Coaches, managers, you know, a lot of emotion, all these. When you're talking about golf, they're not going to drive calls or opinions for the most part, right? What are you going to debate the greatness of Tiger Woods versus anybody else? Or, you know, who are we pulling for? Was Scottie Scheffler, is he an unlikely, reluctant super? Any of that stuff. But I will say this about Oakmont and the U.S. Open. And it started last Sunday when they started talking about the rough. And they started talking about the conditions. And then it rolls into actually watching the first few rounds. And then at this radio station, being at dinner the other night, where Mike Bell is just going, I'm there with Bobby. I've got a 14-year-old next to me, and Mike Bell, who was super sweet, or as Bobby said about Carl Dukes, I really like that guy. What's his name? I said Carl. I like that guy. and Mike. You loved them both.
Of course.
But Mikey is dropping F-bombs every other word about the arrogance, about the lack of connectivity with the USGA, the pomposity of that group, and why are you at Oakmont, and I'm so sick of this, and this is a joke. And it, by the way, people chiming in, I've never heard more opinions about a location of a tournament, about the USGA, and about members and mindset of Oakmont, and how they are effing up the U.S. Open, how they were paid off, clearly, because they got their ninth, I think it was their ninth U.S.
this
Open, right?
This was their tenth.
Their
correct.
Tenth. And my word, and I said, well, Drew Butler, who's a scratch golfer who grew up around the sport, who is super close to so many folks around it, I got to get his opinion. And your opinion is you love Oakmont.
Absolutely. Love Oakmont, and the USGA intends, they want their champion of the U.S. Open to be right around even par. They want it to be the toughest test in golf. It is, again, an open. That's why amateurs can qualify for the U.S. Open. That is why a high schooler from Thomasville, Georgia, who's going to the University of Georgia, worked and played his way into the U.S. Open. They want it to be the biggest test in golf. Oakmont is no better course in the country for it to be set up at. Next year is going to be at Shinnecock Hills in New York. Again, a huge test. And they want the rough to be tall. They want the fairways to be skinny. They want the greens to be rolling like a linoleum floor. And that's exactly what they had. And yes, it might have lacked some of the quote-unquote star power, but watching guys like Rory McIlroy get so frustrated he wouldn't talk to the media. Watching guys like Wyndham Clark, a former U.S. Open champion, you know, scream profanities, and then it's reported that he trashed the U.S. Open locker room because he was so frustrated. That is what the U.S. Open is all about. I love watching these guys sweat. I love watching these guys grind. I love to see them try to get creative when you can hardly even see their feet, much less the golf ball, around the greens, and they're chipping it and getting it close to the hole. That's the whole point. I love the U.S. Open, and yes, I have played Oakmont.
Okay, so let's talk about that for a
yes.
second. You have played Oakmont
yes.
in the same conditions, right? The rough always looks like that, or was more
the
so?
The greens are always pretty fast, and
right.
they clearly made the rough extremely penal this week, and it proved to be that way.
So what
when
do
you talk about a guy like
yeah.
Bryson DeChambeau,
yeah.
who can walk up to any golf course and just beat it down 350-yard drives, the one way to combat against that is grow the rough up and make the greens very, very fast. That's what Oakmont did, and it produced a champion at one under par who I believe averaged like 286 yards, pedestrian by every means necessary
professional
golf these days.
Yeah. So that golf course, why do you love the golf course? Because then I hear people say it's an ugly golf course. They're
well,
trying
they
to play.
Don't know what the hell
they're trying to
about.
Play links golf in America.
They don't know what they're talking about. Simple
well, you
as that.
Well, you played it, so tell us what is it.
Yeah. So just outside of Pittsburgh, PA.
Yeah.
Extremely historical golf course. Host of 10 U.S. Opens,
okay.
many other USGA championships. They went through a complete renovation of the club, took out a bunch of trees, so then the course could continue to mature and provide a championship venue. It's a true test of the game. It's always in immaculate condition. As you saw on TV, it plays over the Pennsylvania Turnpike, which is extremely awesome. Some of the par threes play 300 yards.
Right.
Other of the par fives, you know, when you play as a member, if you play with the member, two of those holes play as a par five. They played him as a par four in the U.S. Open. It is such a great test of golf, and I can't say this enough. It's the number five course in America. It's top 10 in the world, and it is a true country club. You go there, you walk by the pool, you know, you see a gaggle of 70-year-old women doing water aerobics. And then you go
so
over to the driving range.
Meaning what? It's a real country club.
Yeah, that's it's a real country club. It's not like some, you know, super bougie golf club where it's just golf and that's
right.
it. Kids are there. There's
right.
tennis. I'm sure they
okay,
got pickleball.
Okay, so I heard a
it's
bunch
awesome.
Of folks say, I watch golf to see guys get low scores. I want to see guys attack a course and be successful. I love watching birdies and eagles. What the hell am I watching
I want to
here?
See the course attack back. I want to see these guys put through a test. You know, I would liken it to watching a snow game in the NFL.
Okay.
You know what you're going to get. It might be a little sloppy. It's going to look great on
TV. But it's adding an element.
But you want to see these guys sweat. Scottie Scheffler has been ripping through
right.
professional golf for the last 4 months. I like to see him miss short putts.
Drew, I sit on Father's Day, and I want to watch Scottie Scheffler in a final round with Bryson DeChambeau, or I want to see him, you know, against Rory McIlroy like we got at Augusta. That's what I want to watch golf for. And you're saying that's nonsense. Watch guys. And by the way,
it's nonsense the more when it I comes watched to the U.S. Open.
The more I watched it, I said, this is kind of awesome.
Yeah, you want to see
dude,
carnage. That's the expectation of
carnage.
The U.S. Open.
Hey, it's like your kid's going to a horror film. You want to see carnage. Well, adults got it at the U.S. Open. Here's J.J. Spahn, who shoots five fives
yes.
in a row. Out of the gate, is that what it was? Or he shoots a 40 in the front nine.
40 on the front nine, that's correct. He made five fives in a row to start his day after the tournament. He said his kid was throwing up until 3 a.m.
Yeah, well, so were people watching him and thinking if he had a chance to win. Here he is talking about his composure. The weather delay, what, a couple of hours? How long was the weather delay? Whatever.
A couple hours, which was actually great for your Father's Day activities.
I don't think I did keep my composure, honestly, with all the breaks I was getting. I was trying to just dig deep, hit some good shots coming in. But honestly, the weather delay we had was very kind of just changed the whole vibe for the day.
404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Are you tired of the whining, the complaining, the vitriol? Not only by folks saying that's not the way golf should be for the fan that's watching, but the players themselves who, my God, were losing their friggin' mind over the weekend.
Couple other cool things about Oakmont. One, former Atlanta Falcon Bill Frelick, his mom was the head cook there for a long, long time. Bill is actually from Pittsburgh, PA, played his college ball at Pittsburgh, so that was really cool. But two, Bill Griffin used to be the club president there. Bill Griffin, a great double dog. I was playing my rookie year, my fourth preseason game. I got to do well. I'm either going to make the team or be cut and looking for a job. My dad comes up to watch the game Thursday night versus the Carolina Panthers, and he says, hey, regardless of what happens tonight, we're going to go play Oakmont tomorrow, me and you. And this is the day where you find out you make the team. This is cut day on a Friday. So I call my coaches, and I say, hey, listen, I'm going to Oakmont. You know, let me know. Hopefully it's good news. So I went to the head pro, and I said, hey, pro, I know we're not supposed to have phones out there. I'm expecting a pretty big phone call. They're like, absolutely. Please bring us back some good news. You can use your phone. So we're playing, having a great day. My dad's out there with me. This is Oakmont Country Club in August. And we get down to the 12th green, and I look in my bag, and I have two missed calls. One's from my coach, one's from the GM. And I call my coach back. He's like, what the hell are you doing? I said, I'm out here playing Oakmont. He goes, well, we're trying to call you and tell you you made the team.
Oh, wow.
I was like, awesome.
No wonder you love that course.
People were giving us high fives. I went like double, double, double the next calls because I was so excited. But special place.
Yeah,
awesome spot.
Here he is, J.J. Spahn, saying never thought he'd be holding the world, U.S. Open Cup.
I never thought I would be here, you know, holding this trophy. I mean, I've always had aspirations and dreams, but like I said, you know, a few months ago, I never knew what my ceiling was. I never knew how good I could be, but I'm just proud that I've been resilient in my career and pushed through a lot of things and just trying to be the best golfer I can be.
Resilient in his career and resilient yesterday. Again, he shot 40 on the front nine. He was 0-for-6 scrambling, and he went on to win the U.S. Open at Oakmont. The only players ever to finish birdie-birdie to win a U.S. Open at Oakmont, Ben Hogan in 1953, and then J.J. Spahn yesterday.
So when you say journeyman, I mean, this guy's just a grinder on the tour, right?
He's had a really good season. Remember, he took Rory McIlroy to a playoff in the Players' Championship earlier this year. He has won on the PGA Tour. But, yes, he's a grinder. He's a guy that flashes. He's got good.
Flashes and comes back.
That's right.
Because his confidence was definitely an issue on and off, wondering if he could ever get there. And he, by the way, the longest made putt of the entire weekend
was, crazy.
Was on 18.
That the was insane.
The longest putt of the entire weekend of anybody making anything was on 18 to win the U.S. Open. Let's hear it.
Yeah, it was nice to get a little teach from Victor. When I hit it, I thought it was a little short, but it was right on the line that I was going for. And then about 8 feet out, it was just looking really good. And I kind of went up to the left and down the fall line, and it was just going right out the hole. And it's just one of those moments in major championships where, you know, that's kind of what happens to seal the deal, and fortunately, it was my time.
How ridiculous a putt was that?
It was insane. I mean, Victor Hovland did give him a perfect line, but you still got to walk up and hit the putt, and it locked up the U.S. Open for him. So
you say to those folks whining, the players
grow up. You sound like the golfers that are crying out there. I don't want to hear that.
Mike, I didn't say he's saying this.
I don't want to hear that.
Wow.
I want the carnage.
Hey, when we come back, lots to get to, including College World Series stuff that you hear about. Two really, really big trades. One in the NBA, one in Major League Baseball. Why did they happen? I'll tell you about that. We got a tailgate. Drew's here. Lots more on the way. Sports Radio 929. Sports Radio 929, the game. We'll do a tailgate coming up in a little bit. Drew Butler sticking up for Oakmont. I don't know if anybody out there. Hey, how was your Father's Day? And did that not give you the finish you wanted, which was real drama down the back end of the U.S. Open? A lot of folks saying, I don't know who those guys were. I don't like watching guys collapse. Somebody tweets or texts saying, country club boy Drew Butler sticking up for Oakmont.
Yes, I am.
Country club boy Drew Butler sticking up for one of those bougie clubs. When in reality, we're sitting there watching a bunch of arrogant, you know, country club folks trying to terrorize PGA professionals.
Well, you know what they say? They're not trying to embarrass the worst golfers. They just want to identify them.
404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. A horrendous end of the Braves series against the Rockies. Getting smoked yesterday. Lots more on that coming up also.
What do you think the odds are of your starting pitcher throwing 15 strikeouts?
Having a no-hitter into the sixth, I think.
And you lose 10
by 9 runs. By 9 runs. And by the way,
that's not supposed to happen.
If you're wondering why Chelsea FC is playing LAFC at the Benz at 3 p.m. today, Mike Conti's in at 10 o'clock.
Chelsea, one of the most popular football clubs in the world. Is right downtown taking on an LAFC.
Yeah, and who's playing for them today? Is that their regular guys? Who's traveling with them? What is this cup? Is it indeed the preview for the World Cup, which is less than 1 year away? There are so many things going on from a business, from a fan, from a travel perspective. I can't even tell you, just being in Atlanta running a business, how much conversation there is about all that going on right now. So that will continue as well. Couple of things I want to get to also is a couple of trades, big ones. First one was in baseball, Rafael Devers, and it's a bigger question, okay? You sign a guy for $330 million. He is your best player. You're the Boston Red Sox, and you have been bad for a number of years under this ownership group, although this ownership group also got you 4 World Series, so John Henry. They lost Mookie Betts in the worst trade, like, in history of the world, right? I think they got back, like, a bag of bats and, like, a couple of Dodgers.
I mean, think about the Chris Sale trade. I mean, what was that?
Yeah.
They paid us, the Atlanta Braves, to take Chris Sale last year and have a Cy Young
And Vaughn Grissom, by the way, his no opportunity to get to the bigs. Like, with all the guys, that's who they traded
for. He's in Portland, Maine, or wherever he is.
Yeah, Worcester. Well, he's in Worcester. He's playing for the Sox in Worcester. This guy is upset. On a regular basis, Rafael Devers, right, about having to be DH and then having to be asked to play first base and having to, you know, be told that put your glove away, we're not going to need you in the field, and just basically not really a team guy when you think about guys like Chipper Jones or Mookie Betts or guys like that over the years dare I even say A-Rod, although he didn't really have a chance when he came to the Yankees. Like, that was Jeter's spot, although you could argue A-Rod should have played short. But whatever it is, you do whatever you have to do in order to help your team. And Rafael Devers was like the opposite of that, right? He was having his feelings and everything else and, you know, got caught up in stuff with a $330 million deal. You figure if you're paying a guy more than a quarter of a billion, he'll play whatever position you want, right? Red Sox first baseman goes down. The owner flies to the road trip, sits down with him, supposedly to say this is best for the team. We don't want to play some guy that's a marginal player. We can DH somebody else and you can learn how to play first base. So it's not going to happen. They trade him for a couple of mid-level guys on the Giants and their first-round pick from Florida State from a year ago and the best hitter the Giants have obtained in like 15, 20 years, right? So the message there, the Boston market is like losing their mind. They're saying this is Luka vibes, right? Like, you just took our best player. We've won 8 of 10. We went 5-1 against the Yankees. This guy just homered. He owns the Yankees. We're back in the playoff hunt, and you just dumped our best player in the middle of the season. The message is we don't want to deal with that contract for $250,000. They're a big market team that sometimes acts like a small market team. Also, and here it is, we don't want selfish players as our leaders. It's a bad message.
You know who the director of baseball operations for the San Francisco Giants is? It's Buster Posey. Longtime catcher for the San Francisco Giants. Also a Georgia native. He played his high school ball at Lee County High School and then went to Florida State. But you would have to think that when opportunities like that come around, you kind of throw out some of the character issues that might pop up. I mean, the Giants, like you just said, acquire the best hitter that they've had since Barry Bonds. Let's go get him. Let's roll the dice a little
bit. So I was listening to some Boston radio, and they're like, listen, you know what's bad sign for the kids? Losing, right? So it's like, okay, Alex Bregman shows up. He's a superior third baseman. You tell him he's playing third. Rafael Devers makes a stink. Like, he's better than you. He's played the position. You're not a great fielder. He pouts. First baseman goes down. He says, I'm not playing first base. He told me to put my glove down. I pay you $330 million. I'm your boss. Yeah, I sign your checks.
Exactly.
You're going to tell me where you play?
Yeah, you're gone.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Okay, but at the end of the day, that's not a winning mindset. It's very similar to Dallas. You don't train the way we want. You don't respect our trainers. You don't seem to really get in the shape that we need you to be in. Long term, we don't want to build a franchise around Luka Doncic because Luka Doncic doesn't bring to the table the things that we need to be a leader.
Correct.
Same thing with Rafael Devers, their best player, their long-term plan, everything else. With all the stars coming up from the minors, they don't want to build with this guy, and they basically get rid of $250 million in salary. People are losing their mind. Fair for the Red Sox or just a low – it doesn't even wait for the trade deadline to maximize it.
Yeah,
it was just like Luka.
Goodness.
We'll just take whatever we can get and get out of here, right?
And the Red Sox are playing well right now.
Great. Your buddy Sean McDonough was doing the games all weekend. I was listening to him on Sirius Satellite. They're beating the Yankees every day.
I know.
So the other trade, Desmond Bane goes from Memphis to Orlando. The message for the Magic, who's got Franz Wagner – who's got Paolo Banchero, and now Desmond Bane. We got our big three to a degree, along with some really good role players. Another example in the Eastern Conference of folks upgrading. Orlando saying, I see the Knicks, I see Indiana, I see the Cavs. We're adding Desmond Bane. We are a legit playoff contender. That's a big move to get Desmond Bane out of Memphis and basically say that Orlando is serious as hell about being a contender in the Eastern Conference. So both those moves, Hawks, it's on you now.
Yes, it is.
Looks like we're not, you know, getting a president of basketball operations. So this group that you have assembled to make decisions on this team, a lot of impressive front office guys now coming over here to work with our general manager on what's the future of this franchise. As the Eastern Conference continues to try to load up, Knicks fire their coach with no plan. Cavs have one of the great regular seasons. They're trying to come back. Obviously, you look at Indiana saying we're in a great place. Orlando are now putting themselves in that category. When are the Hawks? What's the Hawks' move? What is their, you know, how do they respond in general? So that's just a couple of things going on around sports separate of what happened with the Braves, which we'll talk about over the weekend. The Mets coming in, obviously a rivalry scenario, and then obviously talk a little college sports.
Big news breaking out of the Pacific Northwest yesterday. The Georgia women's track and field team exploded for 73 points to win its first national outdoor title by 26 points. They are your NCAA champions. Congratulations to Josh Brooks, Coach Carol Smith-Gilbert, everybody on the women's track and field outdoor team at Georgia. They are your national champions. They smoked the competition, Stake. Incredible performance.
Yeah, they got Olympians there. They got gold medalists there. Some of the finest athletes ever to come through Athens. And Josh Brooks, the athletic director, he made it clear, we need to compete for national championships in every single sport, right?
Yes.
Every single sport. That includes women's softball, where they go to the regionals. That includes baseball at a really disappointing end. That includes basketball, where they're still trying to find their way out of the mid to bottom of the SEC. But track and field women's, check it off, a new national championship that they've never had before.
Congratulations to the Dogs. Go Dogs!
Go Dogs!
All right, it is the College World Series. The Men's College World Series is going on in Omaha, Nebraska. You got some action today. Arkansas's taking on Murray State, 2 p.m. ESPN. That is an elimination game. And then later tonight, Bo Johnson behind the glass. He's fired up. UCLA versus LSU, 7 p.m. on ESPN for a double elimination game. It's heating up out in Omaha. Have you ever done that? It looks like a very, very fun
scene. Yeah, no, it's on
scene.
The bucket list right up there with U.S. Open and Flushing Meadow. You been there, Bo?
I have not. And I hate using the term bucket list, but it is definitely on the list of things
here.
I want to do.
What do you not like about the term? Give me a little insight of that.
Well, to say that I have a list of things that I want to do before I die just makes it seem like I'm going to die very soon, and that's not what I want to happen. So.
Okay.
List of things I want to do, but I guess it is before you die. So
we do need to look at the very infamous Rocco's Jello Shot Challenge leaderboard. As is custom, all eight teams that make the Men's College World Series, they all go down to Rocco's Bar in Omaha, and you order Jello Shots to show off your fandom of said team right now.
Yeah, you'd say who you're representing.
Correct. And you purchase shots. I believe they're $5 a prepackaged Jello shot.
Okay.
Coastal Carolina coming in for Myrtle Beach, 2,741. Arkansas, short trip over, 4,823. The LSU Tigers, 10,197 Jello shots ordered.
Mess with the Cajuns.
Hey, so my Drew, that number right there, that was at noon yesterday. Woo! You can tell that LSU did not play yesterday because their total to close out last night, 13,552.
Yeah, you don't mess with the Cajuns when it comes to a drinking contest.
The Jello shot. Yeah, I mean, if we're going for another
championship, Cajuns.
That's incredible.
Listen, I married a Cajun. I've been to weddings. I've been to functions with them. That's not a group that you take lightly when it comes to celebratory
not at all.
Activity.
2023 record, 68,000. We're coming for it.
Yeah. Coastal Carolina looks great, by the way, so far as well.
Yes.
And
tomorrow, you also have another elimination game at 2 p.m. It's already set. Oregon State's taking on Louisville. So it is getting down to a semifinal round is up next in the Men's College World Series.
All right, that is the tailgate as we continue on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and, you know, try to unravel a little bit more information on what's really, really interesting stuff with this Club World Cup. Conti will be in here to talk about that. We'll also talk to Braves, Snit as well, the Mets coming in, and just in general some of the things going on. Father's Day weekend, actually weather-wise, kind of agreed with it. The prognosis was so bad for what the Friday, Saturday, Sunday was going to look like.
Yeah, I mean, is anybody getting sick of the rain every day?
They have the
deluge. Summer storms are coming. It's dude, can we get a break?
But you still got way more sunshine than you would have thought. So did Dad's golf game.
I know a lot of member guests for this past weekend as well, so I would assume
they got him in, right?
They got him in. I think there were some delays around the shootouts on Saturday late afternoon, but they dodged some major.
Yeah, relatively speaking. All three Braves games get in as well. Were you working there at all over the weekend? You weren't there at all. So rain, was there rain? Friday night was perfect, right? They didn't have an issue on Friday night, I don't think. Pretty much all weekend, the way the games fell, you were pretty good shape. This week, we'll look at it, what the Mets series is. Obviously, a huge series for the Braves with their divisional rival and a lot to get to in the Braves conversation as well. And we're also unpacking the U.S. Open, which, listen, Drew Butler says stop whining about the situation at Oakmont. Why, when somebody is called the fifth best golf course in America,
yeah,
what is that based on? Like, you know,
course architecture, course conditions. Have they hosted championships? I mean, Cypress Point, so Augusta National, Pine Valley, those are always your top three.
So when Sandra says, like, course condition, all I'm looking at is this horrible rough. Why don't they handle that? They're not trying to handle that, right?
No, that's on, part of that's it. That's on purpose. Right. I mean, it takes a skill to grow rough up
I mean,
like
dude,
that. It seriously does.
Who are the guys that unraveled at the top of the leaderboard yesterday? I didn't know half of their names, but watching them fall in that rough and watching those guys lose their
mind. I mean,
mind.
My buddy Harris English, a Georgia grad, you know, he was on feature group coverage with Hideki Matsuyama on Saturday morning. They're out there, and I'm at home watching it 8:30 a.m.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like two buddies at the club just doing a little hit and giggle because it was so hard. It was raining. Him and Hideki were like, yeah, you hit it. Okay, you hit it. They're just walking
but
around like
I
we just got to get through 18 holes.
I understand at my level or even level not quite of yours but somewhere in between. That guys are going to scuff, right?
Yeah.
That guys are going to be like, well, you just hit it literally 48 feet because you couldn't get it out of the rough or you just miss hit. But you're not used to seeing pros be like rough to rough.
Right.
Like the ball just literally went 8 feet and now you got to do it again.
That's the best. Like that's what you want to see. I cannot say
that
enough.
So you like watching professional athletes in duress.
Yes.
You, like, watch them push.
I want to see
whether
how they navigate their way out of that
defense. Whether that's a road game for an NBA superstar being absolutely taunted or a college star, right? Cooper Flagg going on the road to play. Or, you know, a great quarterback that's great under dome conditions having to play on the road.
You know what? As a kicker / punter, I've always appreciated watching kickers and punters navigate horrible conditions.
The Adam Vinatieri kick, considered the greatest kick ever, in the middle of a snowstorm on the blizzard, right?
It's incredible.
That makes you a Hall of Famer.
Yes.
So I'm curious what our listeners think. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. What happened with the Braves? One of the absolute strangest games. Brian Snicker talks about that. Mike Conte comes in here to help us out with this Club World Cup information and things I learned coming up in the 10 o'clock hour. Sports Radio 929.